It's Sean.
And it's Bree.
Welcome to Season 3, Episode 2. In this episode, we are going to talk about Souris Valley Mental Health Hospital in Weyburn, Saskatchewan, Albion Falls in Hamilton, Ontario, and in our paramedia segment, we are going to be talking about the 1998 film The Serpent and the Rainbow, which I'm kind of excited about because I really like that movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember watching it when it came out back in the day, and then I watched it the other day.
Yeah, so lots of really cool imagery in the movie. Of course, it's directed by Wes Craven, too, which is one of my favorites.
Mine, too.
Rest in peace. Which, you know, kind of on another note, they're coming out with the new Scream movie in January. Kind of sad that Wes Craven didn't get a chance to direct it, but yeah. I know from what I've seen so far, it looks pretty good. So I think they're going to do a good justice with that one.
That's good. That's awesome. Yeah. I can't wait to see it.
Me too. Hopefully we're going to go together, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Perfect. So how's everything? How is your Halloween and all that stuff? And are you getting ready for, you know, the holiday season?
The holiday season.
Yeah. Comes up quick, eh? Yeah, I'm not ready. I'm not ready either. Not even close. But you know what? We still have time.
Well, I am starting this evening.
Oh, well, that's good. There you go.
Grabbing, I'm going to do 2 people so far this weekend, and then probably the rest next weekend.
Nice. Well, there you go. You're going to be well on your way. So, yeah, I haven't even started. So you're definitely one up on me there.
I don't remember what I did for Halloween. Oh, I worked. Well, I worked during the day.
Well, that's exciting. Did you hand out candy or anything?
No, we're not where we live. We live in a building, so usually the supers will collect candy or donations to get candy, and then they just give them out to all the kids in the building, like in the lobby. They'll come down and get it, or they might put it on those people's doors or something like that.
Right. Well, I would just still buy the candy and then keep it for myself and then say, like, I meant to buy it and bring it down, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think it would make it down to the lobby, to be quite honest with you, because, yeah, that's just me and how I roll with Halloween candy, because they're small little versions of the normal ones that you get in the store. So you feel like you're being, you know, somewhat healthy, but then you eat 20 of them and you're going, wow, now I've probably eaten like
10. 5 chocolate bars worth. Yeah.
So, I mean, was that really a good thing?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Anyways, I'm sure there's many of our listeners out there that suffer from that same issue. So I know what you're going through right now. Mm-hmm. If there's any left, because it is the 20th of November, so it could be eaten already.
My boys didn't even go out this year.
That's all right.
Well, they're 15 and 16, so I guess
it doesn't matter. If a 15, 16-year-old comes to my door dressed up, I'll give them candy.
They went out last year, but...
That's good. Honestly, if a 40-year-old came to my door dressed up, I'd give them candy. It'd be a little creepy, but still, you know, I'd still give them candy.
Yep. Other than that, nothing much.
Awesome. Yeah, I went to actually my mom's house. We had a pretty quiet Halloween, I mean, considering. We didn't do too much. Like, my cousin came over with her kids and stuff like that, and they were absolutely adorable. And it was nice to see them and to see my mom and my dad and stuff like that. So, yeah, it was kind of nice. Hopefully next year we'll do something a little different. Who knows? And hopefully it'll be a little different for Halloween next year.
Yeah, I hope so, too. I'm definitely going to dress up.
Yes. Or do something. Like, one thing I definitely want to do is...
I want to go to a Halloween party with adults.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a while. And usually I throw one, but, I mean, we did it for a few years in a row, and then we just kind of stopped. Mm. So, I don't know. I mean, I would definitely like to do that. Mm-hmm. One year. But, you know, another thing too that I saw this year that I'm kind of bummed out that I didn't see earlier was that the drive-in has old horror movies that they put on the screen.
During Halloween?
During Halloween, yeah. Oh. So this year, just kind of going by one place that I saw, they had Beetlejuice.
Oh, yeah.
Dune in the middle. And then the third feature was A Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And I would totally love to see that on the big screen because that's kind of my jam. While. Yeah. Well, I've never seen it on the big screen. I think I was 5 when that came out. So, yeah. I don't think my parents would have took me to that.
Oh my God. I went to horror movies all the time.
When you were 5?
No, not when I was 5.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember. I can't remember how old I was, but I remember being snuck in to see Friday the 13th movie.
Oh, the first one?
No, I don't remember which one it was.
Just one of them. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And then I'm pretty sure there might've been a Nightmare on Elm Street one too that I was snuck into. Just because I wasn't, back then they were strict. You had to be 18. There was no even coming with an adult, right?
So. That's right. That's right. Yeah. I think the first.
That was in Pickering.
Oh, wow. I think the first Nightmare on Elm Street movie I seen in the theater was the 6th one. I was old enough then to go and see it. So, and that was like, meh, it was okay. I mean, wasn't one of my faves, but, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever.
We just started watching them again. We watched number 1 and 2 so far.
Nice.
With Christopher. He hasn't seen them yet.
Well, number 3 is, like, really good. So, that's one of my faves.
Oh, yeah. That one's next. I want to see that one. I know which one that is.
I think it's The Dream Warriors. Yeah.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
Yes. But anyways, let's get right into talking about Souris Valley Mental Health Hospital in Weyburn, Saskatchewan. Sound good?
Sounds good.
All right, let's do
Take it away, Sean.
Yeah. All right, let's get this going. So, as I said, the Souris Valley Mental Health Hospital is located in Weyburn, Saskatchewan. It opened in December 29th of 1921, and it ran as a mental health hospital up until 2006. And it was like a large center building, and then it had like almost like 3 offshoots. And just so that you kind of get the visual, you know, if it had one other offshoot, it would look like a complete X. Make sense?
Yeah, that sounds good.
So at the time in Saskatchewan, it was the most expensive building that was ever built. It started out when it opened with 607 patients, and at its peak, it was housing 2,500 patients. Now, this hospital was considered cutting edge. It had occupational therapies, which included farm work, long walks, dancing, playing cards, sing-along, skating. But the earlier therapies would include insulin shock therapy, hydrotherapy, lobotomy, electroshock, and they also used lysergic acid diethylamine, which in short is LSD. And serious stuff. So they used the LSD to treat people that had chronic alcohol syndrome. And it had a 50-50 success rate. So, you know, you were either cured or you weren't.
It's crazy the way they experimented back then.
Right. On
people's minds.
Like, I agree. And it was just so freely done at those points. And, you know, even some movies that I've seen in the past that depict people's true stories of events, like Girl Interrupted, where it shows the events of a young girl going through a mental instability. You know, it's very crazy how they interact and how different it is to this day, right?
Oh yeah.
Because it was like you were sent away, like you had, you know, they didn't know how to deal with it. So they just kind of said, okay, this is where you go to get help with that. And some people never leave, right? Yep. They always are there, and that becomes their life, which is kind of sad because, you know, they just need some help, right?
Just think about the thousands of children that were dropped off there and never, you know, seen again by their parents because right. their parents thought there was something wrong with them, but it could mm-hmm. have been depression or bipolar or whatever. But back then they didn't know much about it. So they just thought you needed to be in a mental health, you know, hospital because of
right. that. And there are some cases where mental instabilities or mental health issues were thought to be almost a possession in a sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they would try to do an exorcism to get this demon, quote unquote, out of this person. And they were just really suffering from a mental illness, which is really terrible.
Yeah. And it's funny that you say that because after rewatching all these movies, because I'm a fan of those, like The Exorcist and movies about possession. I've right. seen so many.
Right. And we've talked pattern... about quite a few too. Like, you know, The Exorcism of Emily Rose, which is based yeah. on a true story as well. Sorry to cut you off, but I just wanted to kind of put that in there as well.
Well, all I was going to say was, to your point there, was how many of those people were dealing with mental health issues?
Right.
Right? And people right. just assume because the doctors couldn't seem to help them with whatever they were doing, it right. must be the devil, you know? Like.
Yeah, it was almost like, you know, that was their only way to really explain it because mm-hmm. it was almost like the person had like two different personalities
and, yeah.
you know, that's it. Or could it have been a multiple personality situation or what have you, right? Mm-hmm. Still a mental issue regardless, but at least you have a name for it. There's a way to treat it, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Yeah, so there was a lot of stuff going on there. Even one historian said that it should be praised for the work that it did on to help treat chronic alcoholism because of the success rate that they had.
But how many of those people were now addicted to LSD?
Right.
So what did they do about that?
Right. So how you're treating one with another, but really...
It's like counterintuitive.
It seems like it. It seems like it. But I mean, it really didn't go into detail about the treatment itself. So I was kind of wondering about that too. But mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, it seemed to have a 50-50 success rate, as they were saying. So hopefully at that case that they weren't addicted to the LSD after that was done, right?
Yeah, hopefully, yeah.
Yeah. But in all, the hospital, after it closed in 2006, it was demolished in 2009. So it does no longer exist. So you cannot go there. But you know, there's a lot of photos of the inside before it was torn down. So if you really want to get a good look at it, you can Google, the Souris Valley Mental Health Hospital and, get a good look at, some of the interior, and exterior. And you'll see what I mean about that kind of like X looking building structure. If it just had one more line, like another offshoot, it would be like an X.
Yeah, I'm looking at pictures now. You can totally see that.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's pretty much all I have for that. So I'm going to pass it over to Bree so that she can tell us all about the ghosts. Bree?
All right. Sounds good. All right. So... it is said that people who have seen the hospital describe themselves as being overcome by sadness or anxiety, anger and fear as they got closer and closer to the building. I can totally see that happening, especially if you're an empath. You'll definitely feel all that energy around you.
For sure. Yes.
Mm-hmm. People also talk about hearing strange sounds in some rooms and the area... and the common story is about a woman who paces the fourth floor hallways at night.
Wow, eh? Hmm.
There's been apparitions of former patients that are said to wander the building and the grounds. So I guess you could probably see something while you're there, even walking around the grounds. There was screams, bangs, odd lights and shadows that have been reported by witnesses when the building was still up. And there's ghostly references. They speak of sounds of the shuffling of feet, shadows of people walking in the hallways, and a story of a woman who was seen at the windows, where women should not have been seen. So there you go.
Wow. I know I always try to put myself in that situation to kind of, you know, kind of get the idea of how I would feel in that. I always feel like I'm the scaredy cat of the group, and I would be like, oh my God, you know, and probably be out of there. But I don't know. I think I still would find it interesting. And I think it would confirm a lot of things for me to see that. Mm-hmm. Because I've had, like I've said before, I've had a couple minor experiences, but nothing really concrete to say, yeah, this is, you know, 100% hands down, you know, a general ghost experience. Mm-hmm. I say general, like it's like nothing. Eh, it's general, whatever. No. But yeah, so one day, I mean, considering we go to so many places and we see so many different haunted places just doing this show, we're bound to run into something at one point or another.
It takes up a lot of land.
It does. Yes. Definitely. It's almost like a compound in a sense.
Its own village.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They had a lot of buildings and different structures and, you know, gardens and stuff like that as well.
Interesting. It's so creepy looking. You can definitely see that it's, well, it would be haunted.
Yeah. Yeah.
X marks the spot.
Right? Every time I saw it, I was thinking about the X-Men movies. Mm-hmm. That's just where my mind goes with that.
Well, that's all I have for the ghosts of the Souris Valley Mental Health Hospital.
Wonderful. Well, that was great. You know, great information. You know, as I said, you can't go there, unfortunately, but definitely you can see it online. So take a look. You might even see some video tours on YouTube before they ripped it down in 2009. So, yeah, check it out.
Does so it now- say what they put there instead?
No. No, I don't. I didn't see anything with regards to it. I'm sure we can just Google map it one day and figure it out.
True.
Yeah. So now we're going to move into Albion Falls. And Albion Falls is located in Hamilton, Ontario. It was once thought to be the main water supply for Hamilton. And some of the rocks were harvested for use at the Royal Botanical Gardens for their rock garden. The total height of the falls was 62 feet, and the total width is 59 feet. And, which I didn't know, all falls have a type. This type of falls is called a Cascade Falls due to, it almost like has a step structure, like it kind of goes down in like a step.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's really nice. They light up the falls with LED lights at night, so you can definitely drive by and see them lit up. And in 2005 and 2006, the city of Hamilton spent $350,000 to construct two viewing platforms so you can go and take photos and what have you. I guess there was a lot of people that went there and were having little issues, so they had to build something for them so that people weren't like going down into the base of the falls and what have you, because it was kind of unstable. And they were also saying in, I think it was 2006, that there was a storm or something, and it kind of changed the shape of the falls. Like it kind of interjected another level to the falls or something like that, from what I understand. Okay. So yeah, it kind of changed the dynamic of it, and everyone said it kind of improved it. So even better, right? And then mm-hmm. I also read that it was the location of the first natural gas discovery in Ontario, which I thought was kind of cool. There you have it, folks. The history of Albion Falls.
Hell yeah.
So I'm going to pass it over to Bree, as always, for the ghost of Albion Falls in Hamilton, Ontario.
Alrighty. So it has been said that there has been a lot of death there, and it's got a very, very colorful history. There's been some accidental falls from the rocky cliffs. It became a popular dumping ground for bodies for murder victims. Like, how awful is that? John Dick, being the most famous as his body, was dumped over the falls by his wife, Evelyn.
Wow.
Right?
Okay, I didn't read that. Wow. That's pretty crazy.
Right? And then in early 1900s, Joseph Rousseau and Jane Riley, knowing each other since childhood, fell in love. When Joseph proposed, Jane easily accepted, and she later had her heart broken when she found out his mother didn't want them to be married and forbade him to see her again. And then they broke off the engagement. She was so devastated that on the night of September 4th, 1915, she went up to the rocky point above the falls and threw herself over the 100-foot drop. So it was called the Lover's Leap, and it has remained part of the Albion Falls history. Some say before her death and the final step, she sent a prayer for forgiveness for Joseph and his mother. And the rumors say that on some nights you can still hear her crying from the gorge of the falls.
Oh, that's sad.
It's awful.
It's crazy. You hear that a lot with ghost stories, and because people, I guess their energies are still there.
Yes. Usually how I've learned or read, most of the time, if it's an angry energy or a shock, their energy sticks around. So if they were murdered, and that's obviously a shock, right? Their body sticks around, their energy sticks around because, you know, that's where it happened. That's where it took place. That's where the hatred happened. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know how else to... It's not well, I guess you could say evil energy, but their energy is not evil. It's the person who did what they did to them, right?
Yeah.
And then for suicide, it would be the energy, that dark, depressed, sadness energy. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
And it just kind of hovers.
Yeah, it does. It does. And you know, I think that's where it comes in when you walk into places and it feels thick.
Mm-hmm.
I think kind of that's where you have that feeling. Like, I mean, sometimes you walk into places and it does feel light and airy, but there are experiences and I think it kind of goes along with what you're saying. I think the darker the experience, mm-hmm. the thicker the atmosphere feels because it's so negative and we're so used to, you know, the positivity ions and what have you. I think I'm going a little bit deep into it, but...
No, that makes sense.
I'm not a scientist by any means, but I mean, just from what I can, you know, kind of put together in my own mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, well, because people also feel hot and cold spots, right? So I think that when the air is thick and the energy is dark, it's cold for a reason. And then when it's light and airy and warm, there's a warm presence there. So it might not just be, okay, they were murdered. It could have been someone who died in their home at old age and they're happy. They lived a long life. So their energy is warm and loving.
Right, right. And you know, kind of bringing it back to our season to episode 12, episode where we spoke with Andrea Perone. Mm-hmm. You know, they loved having the ghost around or the entity or what have you. It was a comfort to them. They didn't want to leave there, contrary to what the movie states, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that was very interesting for me in that sense where they kind of created a bond in a sense, and how the mother was consistently drawn to that house even though she didn't even know it.
That was an interesting fact.
So that was very interesting for me, and it was kind of like, wow, it's it kind of makes you think like, oh my god, you know, there's another realm, you know, that you know, controls us in a sense of our conscious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's something else, I think, too.
It's the vibration level.
Right. And again, bringing another guest into the mix, Mark Jolly, remember him talking about the vibrations or the frequencies that he has, and that's how he kind of tunes into people and he matches their frequencies, which I thought was absolutely astounding as well, because I never really thought about it on that level. Which was very interesting for me. So, and again, Mark Jolly is from the AMI television series Sightseers. I found that really, really quite interesting as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So did you have anything more for Albion Falls?
Oh, yes, I do.
Oh, okay. Well, sorry about that. We got off on a tangent.
It's all good. It's all good. All right. So then apparently in 1897, a house down the road from the falls was written that a gentleman was driving his horse carriage along this road, and the two ladies with him were very frightened, and the horse stopped in its tracks with like fear, how, you know, like you would see a horse back up the way it does.
Right.
Beside the carriage, a ghostly figure could be seen riding along.
Really?
Side the gentleman. Yeah. Huh. It used a whip to shoo off the figure, but the whip went right through the figure as if nothing happened and nothing was there. And then the ghostly figure was gone. The horse went back to normal and they continued on their way.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. There was also rumors of a haunted house in the woods. The rumors say that the ghostly figure of a man can be seen going from the house into the woods to the mill.
Hmm. Okay. Cool.
And then there is a report of a woman sleeping in an upstairs bedroom and apparently woke to find her covers being slowly turned down. She becomes frightened and then pulls the covers right back up to her neck. Once again, the covers were slowly pulled down by an unseen force, and then she pulled them back up again. And then the next time that they were yanked right off the bed, time the lady, she jumped out of the bed and ran down the stairs and then collapsed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Crazy. That's kind of intense.
Yeah, that's pretty intense. I mean, wow.
And that's it. That's all I have for the ghosts of the Albion Falls in Hamilton.
Wow, that was really good. I liked it. I didn't even know it existed until I started doing research on it.
That's pretty cool.
I would actually like to go there and check it out one day.
Yeah, for sure.
We should, because it's not far. No. So we'll have to do an update.
Maybe during the summer. Yeah.
Yeah, right? Definitely, definitely.
Because I find if we went too late, the tide, not like the falls, might not be as, unless it's a full falls, even in the winter. Because sometimes, you know, the water will slow down and then only trickles, and because it freezes and whatever. So it'd probably be best to go during the summer.
And some of the photos that I seen, it was frozen. So definitely better to go in the spring or summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So on a side note here, I just wanted to add, not, you don't have to add this to the podcast, but I looked up the coordinates of Source Valley Mental Health Hospital.
Okay.
And it shows where it was located back then, but the area now is housing. There's houses there.
Oh, okay. All right.
Looks like there's, actually, that might be a business, because unless it's a farm, but it's a very big building. And then there's a couple of small ones that look like regular size houses. Some of these look like maybe ranch houses.
Okay.
That's just on Google Maps. But yeah, so cool. Now there's like just a subdivision or something not too far from it.
I wonder if any of those houses that are on that land, if they have any experiences, it would be interesting to know.
Mm-hmm. I think they must. They said it was in the surrounding area too, right? So if they were outside, they're probably roaming around. And there's a big area that's a forest, and then there's like a little lake or pond, and then there's a river that goes right through it as well.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Nice. So Okay. Well, let's move on to our paramedia segment. As promised, we are going to talk about the 1998 movie, The Serpent and the Rainbow. Now,
Rats.
it was directed by Wes Craven, as we said earlier, and stars Bill Pullman, Kathy Tyson, Zakes Moik. I might say that wrong, I'm sorry. Paul Winfield and quite a few others. It was a very interesting and well done movie, I think, for the direction. I may be a little biased because, as I said, it's Wes Craven and he is one of my favorite directors. But it really is based around Dr. Dennis Allen, who is part of a Boston pharmaceuticals company, and he travels to Haiti to investigate a man by the name of Christophe Durand, who died in 1978 and has apparently returned back to life. Which he was explained that a powder was used on him before he died. So Dr. Allen was in search of a powerful anesthetic that he could bring back to the US and market, so that because people, a lot of people have reactions to gas, like I'm trying to, I can't think of what that is. Like sedative, anesthetics. They
Oh,
have
yeah.
a lot of issues with it and they die, because they have reactions to that. So he's there looking for this drug that apparently was used on this man, and they find him, and they have a conversation with him, and he basically, the doctor basically finds out how to make this potion. The powder, sorry.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting concept
It is.
of
It is.
paralysis.
It is because you have the appearance of being dead, but you know
Experience
what's
everything. Yeah.
happening. You remember. But it seemed like everybody that had experiences with this drug, the problem with it was that they were so mentally affected by the experience because they were buried alive. And, you know, I mean, what effect that would have on your life? I mean, that everybody
Well,
thinks that you're dead, right?
as you can see in the story, how it affects people differently too, because
Right.
there was a woman who was supposedly one of the first, and she couldn't verbally communicate at all.
Oh, Angelique, I think
I
her
think
name
that's what her
was.
name was, yeah.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
then it
Yeah.
was Christoph was the only one that could recount what happened
Yeah.
when he was being buried alive and whatnot. He was the
Right.
only one out of all the people that this doctor, what was the doctor's name? Not Dr. Allen, but the lady he met there.
Marie, hang on, I'm just
Oh, Marielle.
Marielle. Yes, Marielle Beauchamp.
Duchamp, Duchamp.
Beauchamp, sorry.
She was the one that discovered these people. And I think she did, what did she say? She had treated Christoph before he had died, so she knew him prior.
Right.
So it was interesting.
Yeah, it was,
I like how they did the voodoo, like it was, and it was a different kind of zombie story. It wasn't like your typical run-of-the-mill zombies who, drag their one foot and look for brains and whatever. It was people who were being controlled,
by other people, almost like by
like mind
hypnosis.
control. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And I think you know, like, I don't want to give any parts of the movie away, but I think in this movie, there's really a clear definition to what's the real portion of this movie and what's been added for effect. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So, I mean, I definitely believe in a, some sort of a voodoo. We just said it. What was it again? Not possession, but
zombie. Mind control. Zombie.
Yeah, like a mind control. There is another word for it. When you're hypnotized.
Compelled. Oh, okay.
When you're hypnotized. We just went through like a, a dictionary of words for that.
Thesaurus, please. Jeez.
So, but yeah, so I would honestly say that it is a good movie. It's not overly gross. It has some very creepy elements to it, and yeah, definitely you see a lot of backstory as well, which is very interesting.
Mm-hmm. And I find it funny, my perception of it this time around.
Right, right. Because you probably seen it in 1985.
Yeah.
1988, you mean?
Yeah, 1988.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Well, that's all I have on that movie. So I guess my ending thoughts is exactly what you just said. Check it out and see if you like it. You know,
let us know.
Yeah, let us know. Well, I'll try and put up the trailer for the movie on our Facebook page so you can check it out and see if it's something that you'd be interested in watching.
Cool.
Yeah. All right. Well, that brings us to an end of another episode of Paranormal Files Canada, Season 3, Episode 2. Thank you for joining us and coming along for our journey into this episode.
Yeah, it was great.
So now let's, you know, obviously we're going to cover how you can get in touch with us to let us know of maybe some of your favorite scary movies, you know, involving what have you. We just like horror movies in general, I think. So
yeah,
we're willing to talk about any of those types, but we do generally try to focus on things with
a paranormal twist
to it. But like we said, if you like it, we like it, and we'll talk about it and we'll watch it. And if you have any ghost experience of your own, or a place that you may have lived in the past that has been haunted, we'd love to hear from you. And we would love to either talk about it or have you on the show to talk about it as well. So Brie, please let everybody know how they can get in touch with us.
Absolutely. Also, just wanted to add, if you know of a location in your town that is said to be haunted for however long, like, I don't know, 100 years, whatever, let us know.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so you can reach us at paranormalfilescanada@gmail.com. You can reach us on Twitter at @PFC_Sean_Brie. You can find us on Facebook at Paranormal Files Canada and on Instagram at Canada Paranormal Files.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Brie, for another wonderful episode. It's always fun to get together and do these shows. And we're in our third season, so that means our third year now. And yep, it's been really a good experience. And
it's been a blast.
Yeah, so I look forward to definitely a lot more shows coming up and to visit some more locations for us, for our viewers, mm-hmm, for everything. So with that being said, we want to wish everybody well and take care of yourself and each other. Mm-hmm. And don't forget to
stay spooky.